reading this morning is taken from Psalm chapter 107, beginning at verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. For he has gathered the exiles from many lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless. Hungry and thirsty, they nearly died. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Stuart. Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you. In case you don't know me, my name is Johnny Tate, and I am the Mission and Operations Coordinator here at Bangor Parish, and it's a great joy to do that job. I love it here. My wife Jill and I have two small kids, and one of their favourite books is a book called Who Sang the First Song? See some nodding heads down at the back? Fantastic book, fantastic book. It's a beautiful book, and it talks all about creation and how creation is a song that is sung by God. It says, when God made the earth, he decided to sing, and he wrote a song into everything. And the book ends by saying, so now we know who sang the first song. It was God who made us, who knew all along that every heart and everything was born with a song. It was made to sing. In Psalm 107 that Stuart read for us, the psalmist encourages those who have been redeemed by the mighty works of God to speak out and tell others. Tell others about the wonderful things that God has done for them. In a sense, they are to sing a song with their lives, a song that calls the world to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. 2,000 years ago, God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, and he gave his life on the cross to save people from their greatest enemies, sin and death. And then he rose again to prove that new life is available for all who believe in him. When we put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And God writes a brand new song and puts it into our hearts. And he begins to teach us how to sing that song to the world. As followers of Jesus, we're called to sing that song in our daily lives, everywhere we go, in the interactions that we have, in our families, in our homes, in our workplaces. As a church too, we are called to sing this song together to the community around us. God's love song for those that don't know him. And we do that in a number of different ways. There's loads of different things happening here, projects and ministries, ways that we're trying to sing that song. But the one that we're going to look at this morning is Harbour. Harbour is a community well-being ministry operated by Bangor Parish Church within the church hall, which is two doors down from here on the Hamilton Road. It's been running since 2018, and it's currently open to the community on Thursday afternoons between 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock. In Harbour, there's a welcome area where we have tea and coffee for those who visit. There's a clothing store for people to come into where they can get clothing that's high quality. It's well laid out. There's dignity, and they can have that for free. And there's also been, up until recently, a food support program offered through Harbour as well. I'm going to ask Karen to come now and just say a wee bit. Karen is the ministry coordinator for Harbour. She leads a team of 19 volunteers over there who faithfully serve every week to make Harbour happen. Karen, thank you for all you do, and do come and share with us a bit about the daily life of Harbour.
Thank you. Just lovely to have this opportunity to come and share a little bit about what's happening down in Harbour. It's hard to share in a few sentences what God is doing, but God is doing wonderful things there. When we open the doors each Thursday, we never know what the afternoon will hold. Often there's a queue outside. Some head straight to the clothing store for a browse, and others head down to the welcome area for a coffee and a chat or a game. At the end of the session, there's always an encouraging debrief where volunteers share their experiences. No two afternoons are the same, but God has always touched and encouraged someone. We don't always know what God's doing, but we know he's doing something. As I think of Harbour, many familiar faces come to mind, and each of them have their own unique story. It is always very encouraging just sitting down and having a chat with those who come. Some conversations are very lighthearted and fun. Other conversations are more serious. You can sense God's presence in many of them, and we really need God's wisdom and sensitivity as we try to listen attentively. And in a few minutes, you will hear about some of the plans for the future. And as I was wondering what to say about Harbour and the launch of the new venture, I was reminded of some verses in Zechariah 4. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. This is not just about the team who do an amazing job each Thursday, opening the door to welcome the stranger and the old friend. It is much bigger than that. It's about the work team who take care of the building. It's about the cleaning team who just make it a lovely place to be. It's about everybody in the congregation who gives donations of clothes or food. Liz is doing an amazing job preparing for the new project. But at the end of the day, all our skills and efforts are nothing if God is not behind us, guiding and directing. We are totally reliant on him, and it is exciting to see where he is heading. Thank you.
Karen, thank you, and thank you for all you do and all the team does in Harbour. There's a lot of people serving there, and thank you for everything that you do. For about 2 years now, we've been praying and asking the Lord to take us deeper, to take us deeper into the place of connecting with the local community. And one of the ways over those months that we've been praying that we've sensed the Lord leading us is in the area of food provision. In response to that onward call, we're excited to share with you today that, God willing, on the 8th of August, we're going to open a social supermarket in Harbour, which will be called the Harbour Pantry. In that, we'll join a network called Your Local Pantry, which started in 2013 and now has over 100 pantries operating across the UK. There are currently 4 operating in Northern Ireland. And so we've given a room in the hall over to this pantry. And there's a lot of preparation going on there. And essentially what is happening is that the room is being turned into a small shop. And people can come there and they can shop for food. They pay a small amount of money and they're able to shop for a number of items of food that will total up to a much greater value than what they have paid to be there. And there's the element of choice with that. There's the element of dignity. And on average, Your Local Pantry says that people who visit their pantries will save around £21 per visit on their shopping, and in some cases much more than that. Pantries have been shown as places where community really develops. They become places where community happens. So to make all this happen, working underneath Karen as ministry coordinator is Liz McCauley. Liz has taken on the role of pantry coordinator. And she couldn't be here today, unfortunately, but we were able to shoot a film with Liz just to give you a wee bit of an insight into her story and what she's doing in Pantry, and we're going to watch that now.
My name name's Liz McCauley and I'm the pantry coordinator for Bangor Parish Harbour Pantry. We've partnered with an organisation called Your Local Pantry. We've been working with the development coordinator there. She's been sort of steering us along the project. So a pantry is a name for a social supermarket. The idea behind it is like a food store where people could become a member, they could pay a small amount of money but have 10 items of food which would amount to something much more than what they've paid. You know, the pantry's for everyone, people in all sorts of situations. You might just be finding it a bit of a struggle one week in the month and all the bills come in, or you know, it might be they need a bit more sustained support. They can also come along to the drop-in and have a cup of tea before they shop, or they could come into the clothing store. There's an opportunity then to maybe get to know people and find out what their situation is, and if they are asking for more support, we can perhaps signpost them to other organisations such as Christians Against Poverty, who might be doing a mini course. The idea is that it is local, and building that sense of community is hopefully something that will come from the pantry. So in some other areas, the food pantries have gone on to organise community events. So I've been involved in social care for many years. I decided to look for something part-time to fit in around some sort of extra caring responsibilities with my dad. I actually prayed that, you know, that something would come to me. In the end, Johnny came to me and said, you know, would you be interested in this project? The verse that always comes back to me is the verse that's actually on our stained glass windows at the front of church, which says, you know, come all who are heavy burdens and I will give you rest. That's the idea of the Harvey Ministry, that's a place to come and maybe just have a rest, be welcomed, have a conversation with someone, just feeling like the Lord's doing some new things.
The Lord is indeed doing new things, as Liz says. There is lots of work going on at the minute. There's lots happening, getting ready for the opening. And part of the work has included some conversations with potential members of the pantry, and it has been really encouraging to see how people are keen to engage in the programme, to be part of the pantry. And just on that, I want to say that to anybody who's here today, you know, for us, for many people, actually in the cost of living crisis, things are tight at different times. And this is just a really good way to kind of seek to make your money go a little bit further. And we don't want to have this thing where we say, you know, this is primarily for them, or there's a them and us thing happening between us and the community. This is for everyone. We want to sort of dispel any sense of stigma around this. So if you feel that this would be useful for you, please do get in touch with me or the office or Liz or Karen, and express interest to sign up and be part of the pantry program. We'd love to have you on it. Our plan is to start small and to let the Lord guide us and direct our steps. So how can you be involved in this? As Nigel's already said, this is a really generous church. You know, I'm often struck by the fact that, in actual fact, we are a small church. We're a small church with big buildings and an even bigger heart, and there's a lot of generosity, and we're able to do things like this because of that. So thank you for your generosity. I just want to add my thanks to that. There are other ways for you to be involved too. You can pray. That's the first thing I would love you to do, is over the next 8 weeks, pray for the pantry just as it gets established, as the room comes together and it's all built up and we move into opening and then into the first few weeks of running. So pray for the next 8 weeks. Please pray for Karen and Liz, particularly, who are taking decisions around this and making decisions about what Harbour and Pantry is going to look like in the future and carrying the load of that. So pray for them. Pray, please, that the work of Pantry would be fruitful, that we would see a lot of fruit from the ministry in terms of people being blessed and lives being changed, and us also being able to lift the name of Jesus high and to glorify God more and more. And just pray that Harbour and Pantry will continue to be a blessing to the local community. The second way we're going to ask you to support Pantry is by donating. So in the weeks coming up, we're going to produce a shopping list, which will be in the weekly update, and we'll also produce a physical copy that you can take with you, and that'll be available on the Welcome Point. And each week we'll be asking you to buy things along with your weekly shop, as much as you're able, and bring it and put it in the trolley in the welcome area. We'll be asking you for brand-specific items for that, and they can be left there each week on a Sunday or at another time you're in the building. I'd encourage you also to call into Harbour. It's open Thursday 2 to 4. You're all invited. You're all welcome to drop in and see how the pantry's coming together, to talk to Karen and Liz, to see maybe a couple of people who are in visiting and have a chat to them, have a coffee. You're all very, very welcome. I'd love to see you there. Finally, I want to encourage you to use it as an opportunity to sing your song about Jesus. You know, the cost of living crisis is the topic of a lot of conversations right now, rightly so. People are finding it difficult. But in that, you have an opportunity to talk about what this church is doing to help. And that's not to big up us as a church over other churches. Many churches and organizations are doing stuff. But really, the reason to talk about it is to get to talking about the why. Why are we doing this? You'll find that really across the board, people with belief and people without belief, non-Christians, will widely all appreciate the fact that the church are trying to help people. And everybody will affirm, usually, that it's a good thing. And in those moments, you have a chance to say, you know, the reason why we do it is because Jesus first loved us. He gave himself for us, and we want to spread that message. We want to show the world that God loves them. Something as easy as that, just to say the name of Jesus, to talk about God. He is the song. Jesus is the song of all of our hearts. He's the song the Father has been singing from the beginning. And he's the one who has the power to really change lives for those who continue to follow him. He is the one, Jesus is the one, who is bringing new life to Bangor. Psalm 107 says, Lord, help. They cried in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to a safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. For he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. Amen. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you're here. Thank you, Lord, for your great love for us. We pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts to your word and your word to our hearts. We pray too, Lord, for your blessing on this pantry initiative. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful volunteer team in this church. We thank you, Lord, for Karen and Liz McCauley and Lord, the whole team, and Lord, for the whole team of this whole church family. Lord, we do pray your blessing on this initiative. Lord, we pray that you would take the offerings of our hands, of our hearts, of our gifts, and you would do amazing things, immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, that the impact would be beyond our dreams. But also, Lord, you'd give us big dreams. We pray, Lord, that through all of these things, new life for the city and Harbour and pantry and our day-to-day lives and talking about Jesus, we pray, Lord, that as we sing our song, that people would see the beauty of Christ. Their hearts would be melted. That their hope would be raised. That faith would come in Jesus Christ. And Lord, that sorrow and sin and hardness of heart and hopelessness would be dissolved by the love of Jesus Christ poured out into those hearts, into our hearts. So Lord, we do pray for your blessing on all of this. We pray your blessing on the teams going out this week and the weeks ahead and round to say hi to our neighbours. And we pray, Lord, that the smiles that they show and the cards that they give and the conversation that they have would point towards Jesus. And Lord, there would be such beauty in those encounters. We pray too that people would be healed. We pray, Lord, that people would be healed physically as well as spiritually, socially, as well as economically. We thank you, Lord, that you are about the business of restoring all things. Father, we want to pray as well, Lord, for peace in this city and peace in this world. We want to pray for the Aust family and on the murder of Patsy. And we want to pray your comfort and your peace. We want to pray for the family of the man who is critically ill after a violent attack in these last few days as well, in this Bangor area. We pray for healing, and we pray for restoration. We pray as well, Lord, for justice to be done so that we and others can live in safety. And Lord, help us to be good neighbors so that in caring, Lord, that the carefulness of this community increases and that harsh words and violent actions are no more. Lord, change the atmosphere of this city by the power of your Holy Spirit. Bring life and bring hope. Lord, we pray for our government. We pray for local government, national government at Stormont and Westminster. We pray, Lord, for the candidates who are standing. We pray, Lord, that your holy will be done. We pray, Lord, that those who rule and make decisions of governance, they would be given wisdom, humility, that they would work together well for the common good, that they would be impartial and honest. And Lord, we thank you for their willingness to serve in what is a difficult area of service in our community, to take leadership responsibility for local and national issues. So Lord, we pray your blessing. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Just before we finish and sing our final song, I felt moved, I suppose, to try and, because we're talking about mission-shaped living, to sort of, I suppose, try and talk briefly about, well, what is this story of good news that we're wanting to talk to people about? And we'll probably only share part of it in conversation with someone, but what's the overall story we're trying to share? And Susan and I were down at Mount Stuart recently and we saw this rose, and it's what struck me about that little card that we're going around our neighbours with in New Life for the City, saying take time to smell the roses. And I suppose I was struck, maybe you're struck by this as well, that so often we don't take time to smell the roses, that actually sometimes we're spending a lot of time focusing on the bad stuff and the broken stuff. And naturally and rightly, our eyes are drawn to what's happening internationally and what's happening locally. I think all of us, I'm really concerned about the fact that there's been one murder and one attempted murder in the last 7 days in Bangor. And also as well that, you know, that nearly every week now we see scores of people being killed in Gaza. And it's great to have some hostages released, but it's tragic that scores and scores of men and women died in the process. And we know that that's only the tip of the iceberg in terms of what happens internationally all the time, and also what happens locally all the time, that all the time, every week in Bangor, there's trafficking of people for sex, there's drug and alcohol addiction, there's abortion, there's rape frequently, there's domestic violence frequently. We only get to see the tip of the iceberg sometimes that reaches the news, but a lot of dreadful stuff happens all the time. And I think for all of us, quite often our eyes are drawn to that, and it's important to be real about these things. But I want to encourage us as well to take time to smell the roses. Because actually, there is such beauty around us. There's such beauty and variety and color in creation, and we have the privilege of seeing it and touching it and smelling it and enjoying it. Enjoying it in the eyes and the smile of the people that we see around us in this church community and in day-to-day life. And there is such beauty to enjoy. And I want to encourage myself and you to take time to smell the roses. But it's important to be real, and it's important to be real about our own day-to-day stuff, because we know that the challenges are not just the ones that are out there, they're also the ones that are personal to us as well. Susan and I have been struck by that over this last, I suppose, month, in that I lost a cousin to cancer in his early 50s a month ago. Susan's cousin died 6 days ago. Her husband died 6 days ago at the age of 53 from cancer. We're at his funeral on Friday. And I know that I'm describing situations that I imagine nearly all of us have had. That we've all had that type of pain, whether it's work colleagues or neighbors or friends or family members, and things happen and they just break our hearts. But the wonderful thing about the scriptures that we read, the psalm that we read today, the reality of God, is that the Bible is tremendously honest about the beauty and the brokenness. It starts off with a wonderful account about God making everything perfect, and this delightful garden. That's what Eden means. It means garden of delight. And this delightful garden, and the man and the woman who are made in the image of God, who are there placed as stewards of God to look after God's delightful garden in God's presence and for God's glory. Sadly, it's not long before a sinister character, who we discover long after in the Bible as Satan, comes and lures the man and the woman to start to live not for God's glory, but for their own glory. And that is the heart of all selfishness and sin. It's basically living for our own glory rather than God's glory. It's at the heart behind the wars that we see, the violence that we see. At the end of the day, that's what it's about. It's about looking after number one rather than seeking to live for the glory of God. The Bible immediately starts to tell the story, in the midst of the brokenness of human beings' decisions, about the rescue plan that God has. That our beautiful God, whose beauty is reflected in that rose and in all the other wonderful aspects of creation, the landscapes and the seascapes and the human beings and the flora and the fauna and everything, all of that is a reflection of the beauty of God. And the Bible is very real about that, and talks about God's restoration plan through a man called Abraham, a nomad, and through his descendants, the people of Israel, working out this plan of rescue. And the plan is that God's not just going to rescue this nation. The plan is that this nation is going to be used to call all nations back to God. But again and again they fail. Until there's one particular Israelite who is born, who is God in the flesh, and his name is Jesus. And his name means God saves. And he lives a life of generosity and unparalleled integrity and unity and humility and authority, such that even his own brother, James, said he never once sinned. One of his closest friends, John, said, "We have seen the glory of God in Jesus Christ." And yet his example, although it was so inspiring, also seemed utterly unattainable. And yet this man Jesus said, "I have not come to condemn the shameful and the guilty. I have come to save." And so the Bible tells this story about the brokenness of human beings and declares God's just ruling in this regard. And he says the penalty for the human beings who have ruined God's creation is death. And so the Bible doesn't mince its words in saying God's righteous decree for the sex trafficking and the murders and the lack of love and the selfishness and the greed is death. Sometimes we shy away from talking that language, but that's what the Bible clearly says. And it only highlights the good news of God, which is this, that in Jesus Christ, God said, the penalty is death, and I am the one who is going to die. And so Jesus Christ died at the hands of human beings who were seeking their own glory. Human beings like you and me. But the wonderful thing is that in that place of crucifixion, that we can see the greatest beauty of all time and the greatest brokenness of all time. Because in that place of beauty, Jesus Christ, the perfect man, God made flesh, in love for every single human being, stretched out his arms and died our death. And there is nothing more beautiful than that. But the cross is also the place where we see the greatest ugliness, where we see men bent on their own glory, men like me, people like us, putting Jesus Christ to death, his closest friends deserting him, one of them betraying him, people spitting, mocking, beating, nailing in nails. The cross is the place of the greatest beauty that history has ever known, and it's also the most ugly place in human history. But here's the thing. In the wonder of God, the brokenness could not overcome the beauty. And so the beauty has broken out with new light and new life in a new creation. And that started in Jesus Christ. And in fact, all of it is in Jesus Christ, that God is making all things new, including you and me, that our brokenness is being made beautiful, and that death itself will be overcome in us as well. And that we've been given the Holy Spirit the transformative power of God, who is at work in us, making us, taking us from brokenness to beauty as people and as a church family and throughout the world. It's a great privilege to be part of that. And all of us are works in progress. All of us have got learner plates on. When I was growing up, there was a large glass in our house. Our family weren't shy about alcohol, and one of them was a hangover under construction. And there was another one that was to do with, I'm not finished yet. I'm often reminded of the fact that I and we are a work in progress, and that God is not finished with us yet. And the Bible also tells the wonderful story about the fact that our hope doesn't just finish in the here and now, but Jesus Christ is going to return, and he's going to make everything beautiful. And there will be no more murder, and there'll be no more hunger, and there'll be no more thirst. There'll be no more abortion. There'll be no more sex trafficking. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more lack of love for our neighbors. The danger about speaking about some of these big things, sometimes some of these most awful things like war and murder, is that sometimes the danger is that we may think, well, I don't do that. One of the things I love about our New Life for the City initiative and us seeking to live for Christ every day is the fact that the creed of the world is one of tolerance. And please hear me, I'm not saying that we should be intolerant. But at its heart, the creed of tolerance is that you live your life and make your mistakes, and I have no responsibility or care for you. You get on with how you live your life. And as long as you don't hurt me, I don't care who else you hurt. And at its heart, that is the creed of tolerance. But God calls us not to tolerate our neighbors. Jesus calls us to love our neighbors and to lay down our lives for our friends. And that's why we're going around knocking the doors of 750 homes. Because we're called to love our neighbors. And what happens in their life matters to us. Now, we've got to be careful not to be nosy and not to be annoying, which is why I think it's really good that Johnny has said, we're only going to knock every door once every 4 years and not every year, only as frequently as the politicians. Because we don't want to be a pain. But what we do want to say is that you're our neighbor and you matter to us. And that's why we hope and pray that they will come to faith in Jesus Christ and that we will play some small part in connecting the lonely with community, in feeding the hungry, in providing for the thirsty, and to show people that the way, as the psalm says, to access the mercy of God is to say, help, Lord. Help, Lord. Turn my brokenness into beauty. Turn the brokenness of this world into beauty. It's so exciting to be part of what God is doing. Thank you for all that you do in being part of that. And we thank God for all he has done, for all he's doing, and all he's going to do. And all of it is to the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. So this morning, you may be experiencing pain, physical pain, bereavement, sickness, uncertainty, whatever it happens to be, lack of direction, looking for employment. I don't know what it is, but the Lord knows and the Lord cares about you deeply. Let's just take a moment in silence to pray for ourselves or for someone that we know. And dream big. Whether it's them coming to faith in Christ or someone being healed, whatever it is, someone who doesn't have a home, finding a home, whatever it is, let's just take a moment of silence to pray some big prayers. Father, thank you that you hear us. Move in the power of your Holy Spirit. Bring healing, encouragement, challenge. Lord, wherever there is sinfulness and brokenness, convict us by your Holy Spirit, because you want us to live full and free lives to your glory. Wherever there is unbelief, bring belief and faith. Where there is sickness, bring health. Where there is hopelessness, bring hope. Where there is loneliness, give community. Lord, we trust that in the name of Jesus Christ, you're making all things new. And we want to say, Lord, start with us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.